Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network for this Thursday morning, June 16th, 2016. As we begin our program this morning, before we get into our study for the day, and which will be in Romans chapter 2 this morning, coming up shortly, as we have now, yesterday, moved into the book of Romans. As we begin to get into our study of Romans, as we cover a chapter each day, as we march through the New Testament in 2016. Before we do that, I want to make known a couple of events that are going to be going on, and one of those is the gospel singing coming up on Friday, July the 15th, from 7 to 9 p.m. You're invited to come and bring the family to the Oak Grove Church of Christ near Mount Pleasant, Texas, located at 14 County Road 3240. That is at the corner of FM 1402 North and County Road 3240. That's about 3 miles north of Interstate 30. There will also be refreshments to follow the singing at the home of Brother David and Sister Janice McCain. So make plans to attend that gospel singing. Also, the Oak Grove congregation is planning an upcoming gospel meeting on the God We Serve, August 7 through 11. The speaker for this series of meetings will be Brother Mike Vestal. Brother Vestal has been preaching since the age of 13 and has been preaching full-time for about 35 years. He actually preached for the Oak Grove congregation in the mid-80s. For the past 17 years, he has preached for the Westside Church in Midland, Texas. The topics to be covered is the God We Serve as a Shepherd at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning. At 10:35, the God We Serve as a King. At 7:30 p.m. Sunday evening, the God We Serve went to the cross. Monday evening will also be in conjunction with the Summer Youth Bible Series, and the topic that evening will be The God We Serve is Not Dead. Tuesday at 7 p.m., The God We Serve is a God You Should Know. Wednesday at 7 p.m., The God We Serve is a Holy Judge. And concluding Thursday at 7 p.m., The God We Serve is the Great Father. It's one thing to have questions and occasional doubts. It's another thing altogether to deny God's existence, goodness, and power. At this very moment, you are as close to God as you have chosen to be. If God seems far away and distant, it wasn't because God moved. God is not dead. In fact, He's very much alive and wants to have a rich, real relationship with you. Come be with us as we discuss the existence and awesomeness of God. A knowledge of God and His Son makes all the difference in this life and the life that is to come. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. John chapter 17, verse 3. Also, remember that Camp Ida is going on right now near Maud, Texas. Camp Ida can be reached at 903-609-9791. Right now, session 2 is ongoing with Director Ross Hafner, and it'll be concluding tomorrow. With the theme this week has been New Testament Heroes of Faith. There are 3 more opportunities to attend Camp Ida for young people this summer. Beginning Sunday the 19th and running through the 24th, session 3 will have the theme of Make Me a Servant, and the director will be Brother Richard Rutledge. Session 4 will begin on the 26th and run through July 1st. This is a leadership session, and the director is Brother J.J. Hendricks. The final session will be July 3rd through the 8th. The theme will be Independence Day in Christ, and the director will be Brother Brian Braswell. So that is coming up at Camp Ida Again, you can go to campida.com or call 903-609-9791. The Summer Youth Bible Series of Northeast Texas already has two meetings under their belt. The series began on the 6th in Talco, Texas, with the topic of holiness. And this week, this past Monday, met in Blossom, Texas, on the subject of marriage. And coming up this week, it will be in New Boston, Texas, and the topic is going to be Jesus. That is going to be a great evening there in New Boston, up near Texarkana, Texas. And so if you're in the Northeast Texas or Southeast Oklahoma, Northwest Louisiana, Southwest Arkansas areas, make plans to attend. It's right there in the four-state area. A great opportunity to attend the Summer Youth Bible Series of Northeast Texas. Coming up later, these meetings will be held in Fulbright, Blodgett, Maud, Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Bossier City, Louisiana, Atlanta, Texas, Oak Grove, Texas, North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and concluding August 22nd here in Mount Vernon, the Summer Youth Bible Series of Northeast Texas. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to turn our attention this morning to God's Word and the second chapter of Romans in our ongoing study through the New Testament. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Romans chapter 2. We learned in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is God's saving power unto men, according to chapter 1 and verse 16. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul pointed out the lost state of the Gentiles and their need for salvation. And here in chapter 2, Paul now turns his attention toward the lost state of the Jews and their need for salvation. Now, chapter 1 to the Jews would have been easy to swallow, for they would readily agree as to the lost state of the Gentiles, as Paul pointed out in that chapter. But now the writing was going to get much more difficult, because it was not going to be near as easy to get the Jews to realize their own condition. And so Paul is going to begin by pointing out things that are applicable to all men, but he's also going to point out problems that also are going to be unique to the Jews. Let us begin. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Paul has set out on the difficult task of getting the unbelieving Jews to understand and realize that they were lost. The Jews believed that they were saved because they were the descendants of Abraham. They also foolishly believed they were keeping the law of Moses, and because of that were thus saved. But not only had the law of Moses been nailed to the cross, but even had it not been nailed to the cross, neither they nor their fathers had kept the law. Paul attempts to get them to see the sins of the Gentiles, and then hopefully they would in turn see their own sins and their need for salvation. Listen to verse 1 again. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. If the Jews were reasonable in their thinking, they would understand that they were guilty of the same things that the Gentiles were. Paul points out the hypocrisy in condemning someone for the same things they are doing themselves. The Jews, however, took great pleasure in passing judgment upon the Gentiles. Now, many liberals like to use this verse along with Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, to attempt to say that a man cannot judge anything. Now, it is very obvious that the Lord forbids their type of hypocritical and unjust judging. But there are judgments that must be made, and they must be made in a righteous manner. We cannot deny that the church must make judgments, such as the instructions of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6 concerning church discipline, and also numerous other places. How can we reject false teachers without judgment taking place? Does not Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 21 require judgments? And that comes just after the verses that many pervert to avoid judgments. How can we mark those that cause divisions, according to Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, without making a judgment? Yes, we must identify sin, and we must make judgments, but they must be righteous judgment, according to John 7 and verse 24. How can you take the gospel to the lost, correct an erring brother, mark the false teacher, or even identify the saints without making a judgment? Paul points out the sureness of God's judgment. In verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth and against those who practice such things. God's judgment is according to truth. It will condemn those who are engaged in hypocrisy, those that point out the sins in others and engage in it themselves. And that is what Matthew 7 is really pointing toward. The truth. God's word is the standard. And the word is what man will be judged according to. God's judgment will be righteous, but also with grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, John 1, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, John 17, 17. The word of God, delivered by the Holy Spirit unto man, will be the standard on that great day that John tells us about in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In verse 3, it says, And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Paul here very clearly points out to the Jews that if they condemn the Gentiles for certain sins and are guilty themselves of the same things, that God will judge them most assuredly. And my friend, it is no different today if Christians practice this type of hypocrisy. In verse 4, Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The Jews obviously thought more highly of themselves than they ought to have. As the descendants of Abraham, they believed that God was going to accept them no matter how they behaved. But God is no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35 clearly point that out, as well as verse 11 here in a few minutes. And the Jews were not going to be exempt from the penalty of sin without repentance. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we see in chapter 3 and verse 23. And verse chapter 6, verse 23 points out that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the attitude of these Jews in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." It is imperative that we understand that in this Christian dispensation, God is no longer going to wink at or overlook sin. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Christians must continue to walk daily in the light, to have the cleansing from sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Verse 5 says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Every man will reap what he sows in this life. Man will be judged according to his deeds in this life. The treasures that the Jews were building up was not heavenly treasures, but the wrath of God because of their actions and their deeds. Remember Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." The Jews were truly earning their path to destruction eternally. Verse 7, "Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." How different is the destination for those who seek to follow God and to seek his glory and his honor. They are the opposite of those who are self-seeking, reject truth, and live unrighteously. Why do so many in the church today continue to believe that they can live unfaithfully and act however they please, and that God is still going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to him? How many of those today who scold the preacher of the word for his harshness in pointing out sin and ask to instead to have their ears tickled will be instead weeping and gnashing teeth in the judgment? Yes, indignation and wrath from God is what awaits these individuals of old and today. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul continues to point out that the person who lives sinfully and pursues evil will receive their reward of tribulation and anguish, and that the pursuer that pursues holiness will receive glory, honor, and peace, whether they be Jew or Gentile. The point is made that we are to be continually doing good in our lives. Paul told the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 11 says, for there is no partiality with God. The eternal destiny of every man and woman, Jew or Greek, slave or free, will be determined by the deeds done in the body. The Jews believed God would overlook their sins because they were the children of Abraham. Many in the Lord's church live as if God will overlook their sins because they are members of the church. God is no respecter of person, and every man stands in need of the remission of sins. Verse 12 says, for as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. All are guilty of sin, and all need forgiveness. Again, we recall chapter 3, verse 23, and chapter 6, verse 23. Brother Winton noted that the principles of truth were made part of each of God's written revelations, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. When the Gentiles who were not under the law of Moses violated the precepts of the morality of God, God had laid down from the beginning, they were guilty of sin and stood under the condemnation of God. When the Jews, to whom were given the Mosaic law, violated the precepts God incorporated into that law, they became guilty of sin and stood under the condemnation of God. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Those who lived under the law of Moses in the days of old were not justified because they heard the law. The justified man was the one who heard it and kept it. James repeats the same principle for those who are living under the law of Christ today. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For when Gentiles, according to verse 14, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. The Gentiles who lived on the other side of the cross, that followed the principles that God had set from the beginning, were approved by God, and the Jews that followed the Mosaical law after it was given to them were approved of God. the Jew or the Gentile were no more capable of perfection than we are as Christians, but we seek to do our best. The natural laws of God have always been, and all men understand the basic moral principles of life. For example, all societies understand that murder is wrong, and it is not promoted in any society except possibly America, where it is okay to murder unborn babies. Verse 15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. The Gentiles of the Old Testament that desired to follow God would live by the general precepts of the law because they were simply doing the right thing, even though they were not bound under the law itself. In essence, what Paul is saying is that the law was written in their heart. Our conscience is a compass. It condemns or commends the things we do. Verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul asserts that God will judge. Man will be judged by the standard of the Word of God. And those who lived under the Mosaic dispensation will be judged according to that law under which they lived. Those who live like the Gentiles before the cross will be judged under the moral standards they were accountable to. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we'll be picking up in verse 17 as now Paul turns the discussion in the tables on the Jews themselves. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master. We pick up in verse 17 now, as Paul points out the Jews are guilty of sin. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. And know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. The Jews most definitely were in love with themselves. They were prideful and full of arrogance, and their hypocrisy possibly unparalleled in the history of man. And Paul now turns his focus to the sinful and lost condition of the Jews. They were literally dead and not even aware of it. The Jews, or Israelites, had great advantages. They were special to God, but they squandered their special privileges because of their hard-heartedness. They felt that because they had the name Jew, that they were immune to sin and that they were immune to the wages of sin. He said they rested on the law. Their trust was in having the law and not in keeping the law they should have been doing. They boasted in God, Paul said. They thought that they were glorifying God, but they were only glorifying themselves in their twisted rites and ceremonies, traditions, and thus perverting the law instead of keeping it. And know his will. They may have known the law, but they did not keep the law. It is not enough for a man to know the word of God. It must be lived. And he said, and approve the things that are excellent. Many men today say they approve of the things of God, but they have absolutely no idea what it is that God desires. For we have become today a society that is totally biblically illiterate. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 points out that God is not going to overlook ignorance in men. It said being instructed out of the law. They knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. However, as a general rule through the centuries, they would not follow God's instructions for man. And notice what he said in verse 19, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. It is a sad state where so many have decided that they are so wise and full of knowledge, thinking themselves to be a point of light, yet are virtually ignorant of the word in every area of life. Indeed, they are like the blind guides that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 23 and verse 16. In verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledges and truth in the law. Here we see the modern-day Pharisees, for they are many today who are more concerned with ceremony and rite and tradition. Now we should respect tradition that is good, but we must not let ourselves fall prey to the practice of so many that begin to bind their traditions upon men. We worship in spirit and in truth. Not just in spirit, not just in truth. We must be right in practice and spirit. Verse 21, You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Why did the Jews feel they were better than the Gentiles? For they consistently violated the laws they had lived under, just as the Gentiles. Why do some Christians today live contrary to the law of Christ and yet feel superior to those outside the church when they are running with the same pursuit of sin? Paul, as you can see, is getting very direct and very pointed in his discourse. Paul has fully and completely exposed the hypocrisy of the Jews. Their lawlessness had dishonored God. They were not in a good place. And those who live the same way today are in no better place than the Jews of that day were. Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. What a stinging rebuke. When those who claim to be God's people in any age act in any way but the way God's people should be acting, the name of God is harmed among those who are outside. People are not going to be drawn to desire to be a Christian if they watch Christians behaving anything like a Christian should. Do you remember what David's sin did to the opponents of God? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. The gospel is greatly hindered today when people look at the conduct of far too many in the church. When they see immorality, worldly mindedness, deceit, fraud, divisions, it hurts the church. And it is further hurt when they see leadership that does nothing about it, allows it to continue. You see, even though when we live in an age when the truth is out of season for so many, it is not the outside influences that hurt us the most. It is that from within that causes more damage. Verse 25, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. The circumcision brought about great benefit and privilege as it demonstrated the covenant relationship with God for the Jews. Man, however, was required to keep the law to retain that covenant relationship of the circumcision. When man failed to keep the law, the circumcision was of no effect. They would cause the circumcision to become uncircumcision. You see, under the law, for one to be circumcised does not guarantee or did not guarantee acceptance by God any more than baptism guarantees continued acceptance by God today. Baptism is of no effect to those who do not continue to abide in Christ. Consider Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 26 says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? Paul, again here, points out that if the uncircumcised Gentiles were obedient to the moral principles of God, it would be counted to them as circumcision. The Jews were to keep the law and also the spirit of the law. Brother Winton noted that uncircumcision was a natural condition. Circumcision was not natural. The former is a reference to the Gentiles, the latter an allusion to the Jews. The righteous conduct of a Gentile person would judge or condemn the disobedient conduct of a Jew. The former was righteous even though uncircumcised. The latter was righteous even though he was circumcised and claimed to keep the letter of the law. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. It is the circumcision of the heart that is essential. Jesus pointed out that both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law are essential. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Yes, unlike the Jews, the church today, the faithful church, is the true circumcision. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Powerful lessons from the book of Romans. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks will be discussing the third chapter of Romans as we continue to get deeper and dig in to this treasure of inspiration. Stay tuned immediately following this program and all the programs through the rest of the day here on the Gospel Radio Network. Don't forget, again, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master. And if the Lord wills, I'll be with you again next Thursday here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is Chris McAleer saying so long and have a great day.